The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Good.
I'm going to talk to this group right over here for a minute. It's good to see you, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
It's neat to hear, isn't it? Neat to say it. And this is our week. This is our focus week, I guess, that we get to do that. Since I was a child, Thanksgiving has been super huge to me and my family. And the gathering of family, just coming together, people you don't get to see. Maybe this is the same in your house or your families. You have rituals along the throughout that day. But just to be a part of it is super special as family. The preparations to pull Thanksgiving off, to pull the meal off. I'm assuming everybody has some form of comfort food. I was talking to a friend of mine this week. They don't do turkey. That's okay. Their comfort food is homemade lasagna, and I think that's all right. But for me in my house, it is turkey. Oh, I tell you what, the memories I have of I've already shared with you some time ago. Most of you have heard my stories about my mother's homemade cornbread sage dressing. I can never say enough about my mother's cornbread sage dressing. My grandmother, I still remember my grandmother's made from scratch chocolate meringue pie. I've never seen anybody else do that. Made from scratch. And oh my gosh. And then there's the gravy. Giblet gravy. Oh my. You know, in my family, gravy is a beverage. And we love our giblet gravy. What would Thanksgiving in America be without football? You know? In one shape or another. I can remember the cousins and my brothers spending as much time in the backyard as we could, other than the table, for food, to play football in the backyard, only coming in when our hands and our face froze off so we could warm up. But then football continued. You know, we've all done it. Every family, for whatever reason, has a football in their garage, or so it seems. But we would always settle down to the TV and watch that team from Texas lose to whoever they were playing that Thanksgiving Day. Every year it's the same thing, right? But, oh, Thanksgiving. It's just a special time. So Thanksgiving, like all holidays, comes with a number of greetings. Happy Thanksgiving is the obvious one. But we all see it. Perhaps your email is blown up right now. Your social media gets blasted with greetings of one form or another. So I threw together a few of the ones that I really like this year, and I'm going to share them with you now. So here's one. The more you practice the art of thankfulness, the more you have to be thankful for. That's from Norman Vincent Peale. How about this one? Gratitude is when memory is stored in the heart and not in the mind. Maybe some of you can relate to this one. If there's one thing I've learned over the eons, it's that you can't give up on your family no matter how tempting they make it. Boy, that got a lot of attention. I guess our families are all alike. Now, this one I couldn't agree with more. Good mashed potato is one of the great luxuries in life. I tell you. Now, this next one is one of my favorites. If a fellow isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely to be thankful for what he's going to get. Something that we really need to stop and think about. It really wasn't until the year that Terry and I received a Thanksgiving greeting card from a friend. You get Christmas cards in the mail, but this year she sent us a Thanksgiving card instead of a Christmas card. And it just kind of, I thought, Well, who would have thought about that? Well, why didn't I? But it was that year that I began to focus a little stronger on Thanksgiving and what it really means, or what it should mean to each one of us. And even though the best gift that I've ever been given was at Christmas, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ, it was that year that I began to take a sharper focus on Thanksgiving. It became more aware to me that I had a lack of gratitude for so many things, and it bothered me. It dawned on me that I'd been moving through life at about the same pace as everybody else, just as fast as you could go, just racing to the next weekend, the next day off, and I really wasn't showing God the gratitude and the thanks that I should. Much of my adult life, many of you know I spent my life as a retail manager, and much of my life was just that. Thanksgiving Day was a fortunate day off. It was about the only day off I got between late August and the end of December. And it became such a trip for me that, you know, and Terry would vouch for this, a good 3 to 4 hour nap and a heavy meal in no particular order was all I needed to make my holiday perfect. And, you know, I realized I needed to give more focus on Thanksgiving. So I fear that many of us today still fall short of that. Thanksgiving Day is what we focus on as the day for giving thanks, but it's not enough. To give thanks for what we have, whether it's a lot or a little, that's what we need to do. We've each one been given something, and God has blessed us. And we need to recognize that before God. Of course, Thanksgiving's got a long history in America. For most of us, that's really what Thanksgiving is, just an American holiday. But if you are in Christ, you know different. And so I want to give you a condensed story of the American Thanksgiving celebration or tradition. And I'm sorry, I don't have construction paper today for you to make headdresses and pilgrim hats and Indian or American Indian headbands. And no, Charlie Brown is not in this story. Nor will I be giving you the history of Black Friday specials and showing you any previews of any parade floats. That has nothing to do with the American holiday in reality. But it does go something like this. The original Thanksgiving was held by the Pilgrims in Massachusetts. Most all of us know this. This was during their second winter in America in 1621. During their first winter, they lost 44 of the original 102 colonists. I didn't know that. At one point, their daily food ration was down to just a few kernels of corn a day, until a supply ship happened along and was able to help them with some of their needs to get through the winter. The next summer, good crops had brought hope, and Governor William Bradford decreed December 13th of 1621 be set aside as a day of feasting and prayer to show the gratitude of the colonists that they were still alive. They gave thanks to God for helping them find 20 acres of ground that was cleared and could be plowed and planted. They gave thanks to God that there were no hostile Native Americans in the area, for their newfound religious freedom, and for God's provision of an interpreter to the Native Americans. I always wondered how they communicated. Along with the feasting and the games involving the colonists, there were 80 Indians that brought turkey and venison to the meal. The prayers and sermons and songs were an important part of the celebration. 3 days were spent on this celebration of feasting and praying, 3 days. So from that time forward, Thanksgiving has been celebrated as a day to give thanks to God for his gracious and sufficient provision. President Abraham Lincoln officially set aside the last Thursday in November in 1863 as the day of praise to our beneficent Father, as he put it. Then in 1941, Congress ruled that after 1941, the fourth Thursday of November was to be declared Thanksgiving Day and a legal holiday. So why Thursday? I mean, I'd never known this answer, and my wife promptly wanted to know why, and I looked into that. But there's really not a lot to know other than the pilgrims, way back, the pilgrims had a tradition that Thursday was a day of public speeches, a day of gatherings other than the celebration of the Sabbath on Sabbath. They did it on Thursday so that they did not distract from the Sabbath. A little tidbit of trivia there for you. Now, in the Bible, you can find examples of praise and thanksgiving cover to cover. You know this. If you've opened the Bible at all, it's deep in praise. In Genesis, we see the sacrifices given to God. Exodus tells us songs of thanksgiving when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. In Leviticus, we see the feast of the ingathering that involved remembering God's provision and grace. The book of Psalms has got its cover to cover. One chapter to the next of praises, as you know. You know, and the Apostle Paul sang those praises in his younger days. Into the New Testament, they referred to the Psalms. And then Paul is very clear about how we should give thanks to God. And when he writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then again in Philippians 4:6, when he tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. A careful observation of Paul and what he's talking about here is he's teaching us that in our life we need to have gratitude. But he's also sure to point out that we need to have thanksgiving along with it. You see, they're two different things. To be grateful, to have gratitude, and to have or express thanksgiving is something else. Paul, he's a good example of what I'm talking about here. He lived most of his post-conversion life, or life after conversion, he lived much of that in persecution. And he understood fully well. I think he's a great example of understanding that you can have a joyful life even though you're persecuted. He never failed to praise God, even though he was in misery. He was very clear multiple times to express that we need to have gratitude for God's peace in us, but yet be thankful for it. The pilgrims. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Paul brings us to our soul tattoo. And so today's soul tattoo is to go beyond gratitude. Tell God you're thankful. To not do that, to just be grateful, to just have gratitude, is self-serving in a way, if you think about it. We sit down to our Thanksgiving meal And boy, let me tell you, I am full of gratitude. I am very grateful. But I'm also, I need to be thankful for the people who made it. And I need to tell them. God's blessing is like that with us. We need to tell him how much we appreciate him. So the pilgrims, they had endured some unbelievable problems and hardships in the beginning. They had plenty of reasons to give up, to call it quits, take what they could, what they had left, and head back home, say, I give up. We tried, but I'm beat. But instead, they chose to center down and bring their supplication to God. They chose to praise God for the privileges they did have, for the things that they did have in their life. How would you have reacted in their shoes? Now, most of us are not campers, I'm guessing. And so that's a little difficult, being out like that, and the only thing you have is what you create. How would you react today to the worst things that happened to you? You know? This slide here, could you be grateful in this situation if this were your home, your town? Could you find joy? Well, the next one, how could you focus on being thankful when wildfire takes your home like so many have this year? So many places that never see wildfire. Perhaps it's unfortunately us. Or to be homeless for the fourth time in a year. We've heard and seen these pictures on the news and heard the stories. How could they be joyful and praise God for what they do have, and yet people are doing it? So giving thanks to God can be easy when things are going really well, right? I mean, when your stomach's full and you got your health and everything's good. But we need to remain thankful when things don't go so well, when things don't go as planned, when your car breaks down and you hadn't planned for that expense, or when you get difficult news about your health, which this is one of the hardest things that we have to accept. It seems in my family, I've had more bad news about health this year than I've ever seen. But we need to be thankful and grateful with joy in our hearts for what God has given us. In the scriptures, Job and Paul are very good examples of what I'm talking about here. Job, he had everything taken away. He lost all of his money, all of his wealth, most of his family, all of that in one day. And his friends, if you could call them that, they weren't much help. In all of this, Job's response was, oh well, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He went on to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. All of that has happened to him, and he's still able to praise God. He suffered 38 chapters of pain and misery. That's a lot of suffering, guys. 38 chapters. Perhaps you feel like that's your life. But read the book. It's a great read. Go all the way to the end of it. It's got a good ending. Have you ever had a friend that was ready to tell you how bad your life was? Like Job's? Don't let it discourage you, though. Use it as motivation. Know that God is good. Know that he is worthy of our praise in all things. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:20, he says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always and for everything. You know, and what most of us don't see here, don't realize, don't pick up, is that this is a command. This isn't a request or a good idea. He's telling us, you need to praise God anyway. little background on Paul here. Most of you know this, but when he wrote Ephesians, he was in prison in Rome. And Roman prisons are not known for their cushy accommodations. There's no ESPN. There's no light. There's no heat or air conditioning. It's cramped, or was cramped. I don't know what it is now. It was often crowded with prisoners chained together. The only way you got food is if your friends or family brought it to you. They didn't provide three meals a day. It was horrible conditions. And Paul still praises God through it all. So if your life's tough, think about Paul. Keep him in mind. He was a man that learned the meaning of true thanksgiving, even in the midst of adversity. For him, Thanksgiving was not a once a year celebration, but it was a daily reality that changed his life and made him a joyful person in every situation. And think you have problems? Look at Daniel in the Bible. There's a guy who was taken forever away from his family to another country, put in exile, wouldn't stop praising God, was supposed to be eaten by the lions, but he wouldn't give in. He wouldn't relinquish. He still praised God, and God spared his life. Something that we need to note is King Darius, his life was changed because of Daniel's faith. What we do with our times, our character in times of difficulties matters more to just yourself. The world is watching. So when we're grieving the loss of someone close to us, give God the praise and ask him to tell you what he's doing. You know, how will you be glorified, God? Show me. Or how do you know that that car that wouldn't start and you had to find alternate transportation to work? How do you know that you weren't spared being in an accident? Praise God that he is at work. Or when you're sick unto death and you can't see the end of it, you know, thank God that he's going to bring you through. It's going to happen. Thank him and praise him whether you feel like it or not. Sometimes you need to let your feelings catch up to your faith. It's that simple. Give thanks always and for everything to God in the name of Christ Jesus. So I want to give you three quick points that come along with small stories with them. This is from a writer known as Gene Wise, and I found this very interesting, the collection of thoughts here, and I wanted to share this with you today. 3 points to help you in your Thanksgiving. Number one, pay attention to times to be thankful. Look at the small hidden moments in your life that you can pay more attention to. You know, at the end of the day, look back over the events of the day and ask yourselves things like, when did I see God's presence today? Or how did I express love for what God has given me? Or maybe, what am I most grateful for today? And what am I least grateful for? At first, it's going to be easy for you to find and see the things that went wrong, right? It just seems to be that way. Oh, man, I had a terrible day. You know, this happened and that happened and then that. But in fact, many of the things in a day that first appear to be covered in dirt, once you cover them in prayer and reveal the elements of truth that help to guide our lives, it will impress you just how many positive things happened. By paying attention to the many times that God blesses our daily moments, we begin to cultivate a renewed sense of thankfulness. Henry Ward Beecher once said, "The unthankful heart discovers no mercies, but let the thankful heart sweep through the day, and as the magnet finds the iron, so it will find in every hour some heavenly blessings." Second point is practice giving thanks. Here's a story of the value of saying thanks even when you don't understand what's going on. So Corrie Ten Boom, everybody know who that is? Anybody, if that's a new name, I'm going to educate you, I guess, a little bit here. But Corrie Ten Boom and her family are credited by saving some 800. Betsy, with her gentle spirit, reminded Corrie that she must thank God for everything. After a while, Corrie began to wonder why the guards never came to check their barracks as they did the others. It was found that they never came because of the lice. Well, Betsy and Corrie led Bible studies each night without fear, knowing that the guards would not enter their barracks thanks to the lice. Corrie's story should remind us that even in nuances, all the nuances of our lives, they are the opportunities for thanksgiving. Max Lucado, I love what he says. What if you woke this morning and had only the things that you thanked God for yesterday? That's something to think about. Are you thankful? Or do you tell him? We must remember that everything we've got has been given us by God. Third point, Martin Reichert, the name that, creatively express your thanks. So Martin Reichert is a name that most people have never heard. Dan may, maybe you have. But he was a Lutheran pastor in Germany in the 1600s. You know, a random thing for somebody to know about, right? Well, he began a ministry just as the terrible bloodshed of the 30 Years' War erupted. And in his city of Eilenburg, it was a walled city and it had become a refuge for political and military fugitives. However, this caused serious overcrowding. It caused deadly pestilence and famine swept through the city. Armies overran it three times during this war. It left a death and destruction that is unbelievable. The population went from 16 million to just 6 million during this time. Now in 1637, the plague was particularly severe. And at its peak, Reinhardt was the only pastor remaining in the city. And he conducted as many as 50 funerals a day during this time. He performed more than 4,000 funerals in that year alone, including the funeral of his wife. Yet, in the midst of all this, Reinhardt wrote hymns. In fact, multiple songs, multiple praises to God. And there was one in particular that is appropriate for Thanksgiving season, and it's titled, "Now Thank We All Our God." And he penned these words for it. "Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us and keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed and free us from all ills in this world and in the next." Now, I know not all of us write songs or can compose music, but I think you could find a creative way in your own life to show thanks to God. So one last reminder of our soul tattoo. Go beyond gratitude. Tell God you're thankful. Of all of God's gifts, the greatest one is the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. On a cross at Calvary, He paid for our sin. And He made us blameless before God, and we have eternal life in heaven because of it. That's a free gift. This gift is available to anyone who calls on the name of Jesus to save them from their sins in one simple, sincere faith move. It's because of this gift that Paul writes, "Thanks be to God for His incredible gift," in 2 Corinthians. Like the pilgrims, we have a choice. In life, there are always things that we could complain about. The pilgrims, they lost many loved ones in the first year. But there is always much to be thankful for. As our society becomes increasingly secular, the actual giving of thanks to God during our annual Thanksgiving holiday is being overlooked, leaving only the feasting, the self-gratifying indulgence of God's bounty. That was me. I got lost in the feast. I forgot all the other parts and all the other days of the year that God provided for me. May God find us grateful every day for all of His gifts, His spiritual and material. God is good. And every good gift comes from Him, in James 1:17. For those who know Christ, God also works everything together for good, even events we would not necessarily see as good. Romans 8:28. May He find us to be His grateful children. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank You for the day. I thank You for the focus that we can bring to being more thankful to You. Not only grateful, but thankful. Show us how we can do more, to say more, and to see more that we need to be thankful for. I praise You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. I praise You for all that You put in our lives, all the provisions that You make. For it's in Your precious name I pray this. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.